Hello, my name is Carl Lloydhauser. I am the senior pastor of Grace Community Church, and I am so excited that you are with us on this podcast. We also want you to get connected in a church family. If you don't have a local church, check us out at gracemontrose.org. We want to make sure that you have an opportunity to grow and connect with God. But we pray that these next 25, 30 minutes that you spend with us are powerful, that God meets you and speaks to you because he loves you so much.
As Jordan talked about, this is the last week of our current series that we've been in, and the title that I was given for this weekend is called Repairing the Cracks. And I was thinking, I thought, okay, you know, in some ways, cracks are sort of like holes in things. And did you know there's an actual phobia around people who have this phobia about objects that have too many holes in them? It's called trypophobia. So I don't know if that bothers any of you in here this morning, but we're going to show a short video of what this looks like. So check this video of this little phobia.
Body just tenses up and oh my gosh, it's very stressful. I'm not sure why though.
It makes me want to cry a little bit. It makes me feel like I'm sinking.
Like I don't understand. Why do they make me feel so queasy and just like give me the heebie-jeebies?
It's really weird though, because whenever I see something like that, I can't stop looking at it, but I also want to throw up.
I'm going to watch some vid filled with holes. I'm going to hold this real tight.
I think I'll be able to survive 1 minute.
Am I ready? No.
Why is this music like this?
Barnacles. Okay, that's okay. No, I don't like that. Ah! Oh, the bubbles.
Ew, the toe. Okay.
No, I hate those lotus things.
Honeycomb is nice. I don't have any strong opinion. It's like, it's symmetrical.
Oh. Oh no, why? Why a spider?
Lotus pods.
I'm gonna throw up. I am like, I feel like my body is on fire. Do I?
I can't. It's all lotus pods.
I don't know if any of those bothered you. I've watched that thing over and over, and for some reason, I just get a little queasy at that picture of those bubbles for some reason. But trypophobia, this is a real thing. It's a real fear, and it made me think about, okay, you know what? Sometimes for us, we have holes, we have cracks in our belief system that I think if we could repair those, we might have less fear about some of those things. And I know that there could be so many of those areas, so many areas where we might have a crack in our belief system. And so one area I want to focus on this weekend is that somehow I think no matter how long we've been following Jesus, or if we're really new to this thing, we're just checking this thing out, somehow we've come to a thought or belief that because we follow him, this is going to equal a life of never facing any difficulties, or that we should never find ourselves in some sort of pit along the way, some sort of struggle along the way. And I think that's a crack that needs to be repaired. And so I think that it's super natural for us to have this fear when a difficult season comes our way, but also remember, this is kind of what life does. This is kind of what life brings us. And so how do we patch this hole? How do we repair this crack so that if we have a struggle, when something comes our way, we can face this in a different way. We can look at it with a different perspective. And somehow I think we've forgotten that even every day throughout our life, things don't work out like we would hope they would. Nothing works perfectly. Plans don't always go the way we would hope. Our bodies disappoint us. Relationships can be really difficult. They can be really painful and messy. Somehow the weather in Colorado is never perfect. And even if we've been in Colorado, even if we've been in Montrose for a long time, it still seems like we are shocked and we complain when a snowstorm hits us in April. And then we're mad about that. And then we're shocked and we complain when it's 92 degrees in September. And then when a snowstorm hits us in town in October, we're shocked and we complain about that. And so it's not much of a reach, it's not much of a stretch in any way that when these struggles in life come, it makes us mad. I mean, we complain. And in that, we end up complaining, we end up being mad at God. And unfortunately, I think as a society, one thing that we have gotten really, really way too good at is complaining. And this ripples into so many areas of our lives. A few months ago, Starbucks introduced this new drink that is infused with olive oil. And before most of the people in the States even had a chance to try this thing, Starbucks' Instagram page was full of complaints about this new drink. And these are some actual complaints that came from their Instagram page right before this drink was about to hit most of the stores. For the love of God, stop with the olive oil. Oil is for salads. Stop pushing the olive oil agenda. I didn't even know there was an olive oil agenda out there. So then it was like, no, bring this drink back, bring that drink back, and just give us something with peanut butter sauce. And I was like, okay, that one was valid. I could go for that one. And then how about these complaints? Complaints on Crumble Cookies Instagram page. I don't know if you've ever had these little discs from heaven, but they are amazing. But guess what? Complaints. Your cookies aren't even cooked all the way through. 0 out of 10. This week's flavors are terrible. Bring back the coconut lime. It's been 2 years since we've had it. You guys used the wrong kind of icing on your oatmeal cookie. What were you thinking? I was like, I just thought, you know, I'm so glad that Billy Graham and Mother Teresa never had Instagram pages, because we would have found ways to complain about those guys too. And so hence, right, the cracks and the holes and the complaints that come from our belief system and the struggles and the pits that we face in our life. So one thing this morning before I get any further in, what I don't want you to hear me saying this morning is that we can never complain and that we can never be down when these things come our way. I don't want you to hear me saying, gosh, we can just never complain to God. We can never let him know how we feel. Because God can handle every emotion that we bring his way. That's why we see examples of laments in Scripture. What I hope that you do hear this morning is that we have an opportunity to walk these things out and to go through these things a little differently than maybe we've done so in the past. I think part of these complaints happen because we don't always look at life through a biblical perspective. And if we don't look at life through that biblical perspective or that biblical worldview, and we find ourselves in a pit, oftentimes one of the questions that we have, one of the things in the complaints, the way God hears it from us is, God, why are you doing this to me? And instead, this biblical perspective, if we could take that, is going to say, all right, God, I know this struggle is here. I know this pit is here right now. I'm going to hang on, and I'm going to say, God, what do you have for me in the midst of this? And when we go through those struggles and those pits, one of the things that we have to be careful of is what I would call our judgmental shoulds and our should nots. Because sometimes we have demands on reality and we have demands on God so that we can have things exactly the way we want them to be simply because we think we should have those things our way. And really, this means that you and I should be able to make up the rules for the entire universe. Things should happen simply because I want them to happen. Things shouldn't happen simply because I don't want them to happen. You know, after a long day of work, if I make it out to the driving range, I should have the whole place to myself. I should not have to squeeze in between anybody else and share any of the space with them, because at least I deserve that. But really, I feel like I should have the whole place to myself, because it's a safety issue for the people around me. Because the less people are around, the less chance anyone's going to get hurt while I'm out there. But we end up judging the whole universe. And in our case, what happens is we end up judging God when we make statements about what should and what shouldn't be happening in our lives. And then on top of that, when we say those statements, then we like to add some qualifiers on top of that that take things a little bit deeper. And we like to say, doesn't God know that I've been going to church? Doesn't he know that I'm in a Bible study in a small group and I'm paying my tithe? This shouldn't be happening to me. And then if we're not careful, resentment sets in toward God when the plans that he has for us don't line up with the plans that we have for ourselves. In James chapter 1, verse 2, it says this. It says, "Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials." And I think this is so vital in something to start to repair this crack that could be in our belief system, is to acknowledge this is there. This is in Scripture. This has been told to us that trials, those things are certainly going to come our way. And then we have to come to an acceptance that we are going to encounter those various trials in our lifetime. I feel like, personally, I've gotten so much better at the acknowledge and at the accept part. The part that I still need work on is the consider it all joy part. But I like what I hang on to in that scripture. I hang on to consider, because it says, I can think about this. I can weigh this thing, this out. I can contemplate it. And then as I keep on squeezing it, it's like maybe I can get a couple drops of joy out of this thing. 1 Peter 4:12 really, really, I think, describes it even more directly than James does. I got to tell you, in studying for this is the first time I came across this scripture. I just was like, whoa, this is a deep one. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. I don't go through pits perfectly. I'm human. I'm learning. But I also know I've been through enough pit seasons in my life that now my initial reaction is kind of like, all right, let's like see what's going on here. It's kind of a more of a wait and see than it is just this quick reaction. This has been a developmental process for me. And I think the only way that I've kind of come to this point is because I know that I've probably been through a couple dozen pit seasons in my life. And I'm an in the pit veteran. And I also hear about the pit seasons and the struggles and the pain and the depth of those things on a daily basis. So I'm well aware of the weight. I'm well aware of the frequency. And that awareness is at an all-time high for me. This past fall and winter, I went through probably my first real test and trial in a real worry about my health. So last fall, early fall, I went through these 4 rounds of cyclical illness. About every 7 to 10 days, I had these symptoms and these things that were showing up, and they'd last for several days. They'd go away 7 to 10 days later. They showed up again. And really the thought behind that was probably my body was trying to just work through and kick some virus out. And it took 4 cycles to do that, because finally by the end of September, I was done with those cycles. But these symptoms and all the things that were going on with it raised enough questions and enough concerns that it sent me down this other road to try to gain clarity of what this possibility could be. So started last August, actually just finally came to an end about middle of February, just a few months ago. And so when all this was getting started, and I mean, tests and procedures were being thrown my way, I could tell you, like, in a very, very short amount of time, single-handedly, I was able to meet our family deductible. And I was really proud of myself the way I took care of that for our family and stepped up in that way for us. Many tests, multiple procedures, lots of trips back and forth to Grand Junction, probably a cumulative time of missing about a month's worth of work, resulted in some fairly minor things to kind of just keep an eye on, to keep track of. Really, there are some lingering things that are still left out of that whole thing. And I would say this trial that I went through, I actually handled that one pretty well. Never once in the midst of that did I ask that question, God, why are you doing this to me? I will still admit, I don't know if I've really squeezed and found a lot of joy out of that whole experience. But I know I went through it in a much different way. I also believe through that, because of the perspective, because of the way I was trying to go through that, I felt like God had 2 different things for me out of that trial. And here's something that I've noticed about the pits and the struggles that we can go through in life. And there's often a combination of purpose that comes out of them. Oftentimes, I feel like God has had something directly for me. He's also had something for me to pass on to somebody else. And reminded me of the scripture that comes out of 2 Corinthians 2:3-4. And these verses say, Praise the God of our and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father who is compassionate and the God who gives comfort. He comforts us whenever we suffer. And that is why whenever other people suffer, we're able to comfort them by using the same comfort that we have received from God. I know when we're in the thick of it, when we're in the thick of those things, I mean, it can seem unbearable. It can also be a catalyst and an opportunity for us to draw closer to the God in the midst of that. And I think we can come out on the other side of it, oftentimes finding that we are equipped with more passion, compassion, more empathy, and a real sense of resilience. And so the two things that I feel like God had for me in the midst of that time was, one, I would already consider myself a person who is full of mercy, that has a lot of compassion and a deep care for other people. But this trial for me, just it deepened that to a whole different level. I feel like I can empathize so much better with others when they're traveling through a seasons of unknowns. When test results come back that shake your faith, when you're in physical pain, and when you have something take over your schedule, take over your body, that just feels like I just don't have any control over this. And the second thing that God had for me, and this was actually much tougher lesson for me, and I hope along the way that I'm really getting to the bottom of this lesson, because it's something that God's been trying to work in me for a long time. And that is just, Calvin, it's okay for you to ask for help. It is so simple, but it is so extremely hard. So the trial was part of that process. And even before that, it really started even innocently more before that, where I came across this picture of a tow truck that was hauling an ambulance. And the caption below the picture said, even the helpers need help sometimes. And I thought, yeah, that's true. And I was just about ready to walk away. And I felt like God said, like, oh yeah, that's true. But this is true for you, Calvin. This part, not just, yeah, that sounds good. Take this in, because this is for you. And so then in November last year, I went to spend time with some family in Tennessee to hunt with them for a while. They told me, hey, pack light. We've got everything you need. Just get yourself out here. Let's spend some time together. And this sounded great. It sounded awesome until I got there. And there was a lot of good experiences. But it was like, I felt like I had been dropped into a TV show, because my travel was paid for, my lodging was paid for, food. Here's all the camo, here's all the clothes. Here's like the best tree stand on the whole place. All this is for you. And I've got to tell you, like, the generosity of all that was overwhelming to me. And that's why I say it was really good. It was really easy until I got there, because then it was just like, I just had to sit in all that. I couldn't provide a single thing for myself. I had to ask for everything. And my family loved blessing me in this way. And even though there was one night I sat down and I had a teary conversation with them, and I just was like, you guys, I have to depend on you for everything while I'm on this trip. It's like really great, but it's really hard at the same time. And that's when I felt like God just said, hey, this is the point, Calvin, because this, I want to make sure you see this, you feel this, you understand it, because look how great it is when you ask for help. And then when the rest of November and December were filled with all those procedures and all those things like that, and I needed help at home again, and Nancy and Mark were at the ready, I felt like I could fully receive that, because this pit that I was going through, it had so much purpose for me. And when it comes to struggles, when it comes to pits in life, it shakes out this way. Did I do something to get myself into this struggle? Did I make a choice that helped land me in this spot that I don't want to be in? Did someone else cause this setback or this pit? Or is this just something, this is one of those various trials that we are going to encounter along the way. This is one of those things that happens in life. The Bible gives us great examples of some of these scenarios. Like, if we looked at the life of Jonah, here is an example of a guy who made choices to go against God that landed him in the pit that he found himself in. And here's the thing I still love about that, is Jonah went directly away from God, and God loved him in the midst of it anyways. And I want you just to know, if there is a struggle or a pit that you have landed yourself in because of choices, God loves you anyways. The same is true for you. Jonah went in the exact opposite direction of what God was asking him to do. God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh, and he wanted to call them to repentance, to turn from their sins. And this is no easy task, right? Because at that time, Nineveh, they were noted to be the worst offenders. So this would be like if you and I decided we were going to pack up and we were going to go to Allegiant Stadium. Okay, that's where the Raiders play, by chance, if you didn't know that. So we're going to pack up. We're going to make a road trip to Vegas. We're going to wear our Broncos jerseys. And when we get there, we're going to try to convince the Raider fans to turn from their wicked ways and follow the Broncos. And this would be a really tough sell because the Broncos have not been relevant since Peyton left. So Jonah, he resists everything that God is asking him to do. He runs away. He escapes. To flee from the Lord is actually what Scripture tells us. This great storm comes up while he's on the ship. It threatens to tear the whole thing apart. The crew on the ship are trying to figure out who could be the cause of this problem. And Jonah's like, it's me. Just toss me overboard. They do it. And all of the sea calms. And then at that point, this great fish comes and it swallows up Jonah, and he's in the belly of this great fish for 3 days and nights. And while he's in the belly of this fish, which if you look at this, the belly of this great fish in a literal translation means a word called Sheol, which means the pit. Finally, when Jonah is in here, he calls out to God, he repents, and God made the great fish spit Jonah out onto dry land. God was faithful, and he helped Jonah out of the pit. You know, these experiences and these struggles that we face are going to either drive us toward God, they're going to drive us away from God. And really, the choice is ours. And I would say, if it's driving you away from God, like, what are you running to? Who could help us more in our pain than God? And sometimes, in either case, it causes us to ask that question, God, why are you doing this to me? And I think that's the question that we ask if we start to turn away from God in the midst of the pit. Because we ask that question oftentimes in anger, in accusation, and with resentment. And then if we turn toward God and we ask this question, and again, this is where I would just challenge us to do this in this different way. All right, Lord, what do you have for me in the midst of this? Then I think when we can do that, we're way more likely to look for the lesson, to look for the purpose, and maybe even the blessing that could come from this pit and this struggle. Jonah 2:7 says, he turned toward God and he said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. So now Jonah fulfills what God has asked him to do. He goes to Nineveh. He calls the people to repentance, and it works. God has compassion on them, and he doesn't destroy the city. And it's amazing Jonah's response to this. He complains. He's ticked that God is going to show compassion. And even through all of that, God continues to love him in spite of his attitude. I think along the way, Jonah seemed to forget the mercy and the compassion that was shown to him, and he's upset when God shows it to somebody else. And even if we find ourselves in the pit because of our own choices, because of our own doing, God hasn't and he will never turn away from you. That you are not disqualified from doing great things for him. That you aren't less than for doing those things. But the key, what we see with Jonah, is the repentance that happened. That repenting for what got us into that pit so that we can search now for the meaning of in it. Every pit has a purpose. And actually, we have to go through pits in our lives so that God can work more fully in us and through us to develop us towards who he wants us to be. You know, at the beginning of the message, we talked about James 1:2, right? Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. If we read beyond that, It says, knowing that the testing of your faith brings about perseverance. And let perseverance have its perfect work so that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking nothing. A few weeks ago, Carl talked to us about Joseph. Joseph is an example of a guy who did nothing wrong and landed himself into a pit. Because of sibling rivalry and jealousy, we know that he was dad's favorite, and that annoyed his brothers. We know that his dad gave him this coat of many colors, this beautiful coat. His brothers didn't like him for that either. And so one day they're plotting, and they see him coming from a long ways off, and they throw him into this pit. We don't know how long he was there. We know that he got out. We know that he was sold into slavery. And one of the things about when we come to the other side of the pit, we don't always know what that's going to look like. It may not always look like what we think it should look like or what we would hope it would look like. But God moved Jonah. God moved Joseph. He was faithful to them both. Even Daniel, right? A guy who did nothing wrong, found himself in a pit. God was faithful to Daniel, and he got him out of the pit. There's like a pattern here that happens, isn't there, when we get into these things? And I know that these questions change us. There's just no question, these experiences, there's no question that they change us. And sometimes it could be for good or for bad. And I think a lot of that depends on how are we going to respond when we find ourselves in that pit. I would think we would never say it is good, but only God can bring good out of those things, that he can use our troubles as tools. And so I just want to say that if you find yourself in a pit today, for whatever the reason, if it was something that you did to get yourself into the pit, if it was something that somebody else did, or if you're in just this pit right now just because this is what and how life goes, I just want you to know that God is right in the middle of it with you. I think oftentimes we dismiss the pit that we're in when we hear about someone else who has it worse than we do. And that's a great perspective, but I don't want you to miss what's in it for you. I don't want you to feel invalidated for whatever you're going through here this morning, because God is never going to waste any experience on us, anything that we go through. And if you've made choices that have put yourself in the pit, guess what? God doesn't need a plan B for your life, okay? When someone else's decision might have turned your life upside down, God is going to work through it anyways. There's just nothing that can sink your purpose that God has for you. Not anyone else, not anything that you've done. And so we're going to go through these things. And we're going to make it to the other side, because he promises he's not going to leave us there. He didn't leave Jonah there. He didn't leave Joseph there. And in the biggest picture of all that we can think of, he didn't leave Jesus there. And we can rest on the fact and the promise that he's not going to leave us there either. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just come to you this morning, and God, we ask for your help. We know this place that we might be in this morning. It is a tough thing to say, to accept it, to acknowledge it, and to even say, all right, Lord, what do you have for me in the midst of this? So Lord, I pray, I know that's not easy, but I pray over the people here this morning that are in, if it is relationship related, if it is health related, Lord, if it's just a season of unknowns, I want to pray hope over them. Lord, I want to pray your encouragement over them. And God, your faithfulness over them, that you allow them to walk this out because they know that you're right there with them. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us. I hope that God spoke to you. We would love to follow up and care for you any way that we can. So come visit us at gracemontrose.org. Say hello. Let us know what we can do to help you grow in him. God bless you.